Urban Legends. In the last track, we discussed methods for you to help your client who feels he or she has gotten their great catch to connect some therapeutic dots of abuse, so to speak. Now, let's look at five urban legends. What is an urban legend? An urban legend is a social myth created to explain the unexplainable. In case you are unfamiliar with this colloquialism, I'll use this term as meaning your client's explanation for their partner's abuse, and this explanation does not produce growth or change. As I explain these five urban legends or myths, think of a client you are treating who may have overlooked providing this form of a reality check. Urban legend or myth number one, drugs and alcohol. As you know, a common assumption among those that are abused is that drugs and alcohol caused the abusive behavior. While undoubtedly drugs and alcohol make abuse worse, it cannot actually cause the abuse to happen. As you will see with Denise, this is a subtle but crucial therapeutic point. At first, Denise had accepted alcohol as an excuse for Robert's name-calling, put-downs, criticisms, and sarcasms. But in one session, she stated, "Robert would call me dumbass and other names even without a couple beers and his regular shot chaser." To dispel urban legend number one, alcohol and substance abuse, with Denise, I explained to her that when Robert is drinking, he is and acts out of control. But for all of his claims of being out of control or that he could not help himself, Robert is making choices. I stated to Denise, "Consequently, your hopes that a rehab program as the total answer for producing change and creating the relationship of your dreams may not be realistic." I provided Denise with a printout of the following fact sheet. The sheet stated, "According to national statistics, although there is a high correlation between alcohol and other substance abuses and battering, it is not a causal relationship. Batterers use alcohol as one of many excuses for their violence and as a way to place the responsibility for their violence elsewhere. Stopping the abuser's drinking will not stop the violence. Both battering and substance abuse need to be addressed separately as overlapping yet independent problems." A printout of this statement appears in the manual that accompanies this home study course under the name of Facts versus Myths. Do you have a client who could benefit from a review of the fact sheet versus myths found in your manual regarding urban legend number one, alcohol and substance abuse excuse making? Urban legend number two, unhealthy childhood. I find a second common explanation for verbal as well as physical abuse is that of an unhealthy childhood. And that's what caused the great catch to act in an abusive manner. As you know, it is correct that childhood trauma can create adult problems. Like many other abused women, Denise heard stories from Robert about his abusive childhood. She stated, "Nobody should have to live through that. I know his spirit was gone. I wanted to save him and give his spirit back to him." Who is your Denise that you are currently treating or have treated? Would a review of the following statistics be or have been helpful? It is important to keep in mind that while some men and women were abused as children and they may suffer from depression or other after effects, childhood abuse does not turn them into abusers. The National Institute of Health has indicated that approximately 65 to 85%, let me repeat that, 65 to 85% of adults who were abused as children do not grow up to abuse others. While someone may have had an unhealthy childhood, they still have the ability to make different choices. I provided Denise with the fact that many families in which violence occurs do not produce verbally and physically violent abusive men. The power Robert had with Denise is a network that reflects, I feel, legal, social, societal, and economic inequities. In short, trying to fix Robert's childhood and fix him was not only unrealistic, but trying to provide a simple one-stop shopping type of solution, so to speak, regarding Robert's name-calling, put-downs, criticisms, and sarcasms. Urban legend number 3, stress. Denise worked hard to alleviate Robert's stress. She spent countless hours cleaning the house, trying to cook perfect meals, taking care that their 3- and 5-year-old did not bug him, as Robert put it, and screening unwanted phone calls from bill collectors. Denise tried to create as much of a stress-free environment for Robert as she could. But you know the punchline. No matter how much stress she alleviated, there was always something that she couldn't foresee or some new criteria for what was stressful for Robert on a particular day and what wasn't. Think of your Denise whom you are treating. Have you overlooked reviewing the following? Think as I state the obvious to Denise. Life is full of stress, but stress is never the sole cause of abuse. We all have stress, and most are able to find ways of coping with it without abusing others. After several sessions, Denise stated, I would have never thought about taking stress and turning it into screams and yells and put-downs for Robert and my children. If I can make this choice, Robert has the same choice, doesn't he? This dispelled urban legend or myth number 3, that stress caused Robert's constant name-calling, put-downs, criticisms, and sarcasms. Urban legend number 4, insecurities. I am sure you have found, like I, that many women see insecurity as an excuse for justifying their partner's behavior. Robert was so uncertain of himself that reassuring him became a full-time job for Denise. And despite her efforts to compliment, soothe, comfort, and strengthen Robert's fragile ego, Denise reported, I'm still a failure. Think about urban legend or myth number 4, insecurity, if you will. To stand tall, the great catch Robert has to keep his heel in Denise's neck. Do you see the visualization here of a man standing over his woman who is on the floor with his heel in her neck? Actually, this is the visualization Alice, another client, created during a session. Her great catch was Rico. Ask yourself, do you need to clarify the one-up status the great catch is creating? Do you need to provide the following insight via general global statements that are from Patricia Evans' Verbal Abuse Survivors Speak Out book? Here's what Ms. Evans states. I have found that many men depend almost entirely on a woman to make life comfortable and secure. If she fails to do it perfectly, or if she resists, then his security is threatened and he strikes back. The basis of his insecurity is his need to have subservience and dependency on him. So, what do you think? Do you need to review the insecurity, urban legend, or myth with one of your clients in your next session? Urban legend or myth number 5, inner feelings. Popular psychology teaches that people should express their inner feelings. And of course, there is a certain amount of truth in this basic therapy premise. However, where do you draw the line in this legendary version of the truth? How, when, and how much do you encourage the venting of anger in the name of, once it is out in the open, your client will feel better? As you know, this treatment strategy can be dangerous when given to a violent, controlling partner. Alice's boyfriend Rico already believed that he had the right to impose his moods on Alice. Are you surprised to know that the National Institute of Health studies have illustrated that people who vent their anger may become even angrier? Sometimes these sessions lead to the encouragement of abusive people to vent their emotions. The result is that they feel they have gained authoritative support for their explosive tirades. As you know, what Rico needed to do was to stop thinking so much about himself and his injured feelings. He needed to find more appropriate ways to express himself. But more importantly, he needed to stop his verbal assaults on Alice. My rule of thumb is communication skills can only be taught once physical and verbal abuse has subsided. In summary, in your next session with your Denise or your Alice, use the following 5-point urban legend or myth checklist to see if it will be beneficial. Number 1. Is your client looking to the stopping of their partner's substance abuse as the answer? Number 2. Is your client trying to repair their great catches unhealthy childhood as the solution to their abuse? Number 3. Is your client trying to create a perfect, stress-free world for their partner to avoid abuse? Number 4. Does your client make a full-time job of constructing a facade of inferiority to build up their great catches, sagging self-image, and insecurities? Number 5. Does your client read a lot of pop psychology and excuse their partner's abusive outburst as a healthy venting of feelings? After you assess the appropriateness of these 5 urban legends or myths for inclusion in a future therapy session, this brings us to the next track. We will discuss reconstructing the reality of self-blame experienced by your client, and the use of BAD or bad questions will be presented. Question 8. What are 5 urban legends or myths regarding solutions to abuse by the Great Catch?